thank you, Will Wilshire, for agreeing to the interview. I'm Bernard John, and this is Angela. And we're doing these recordings on behalf of the Friends of Caldecott Library. So that's really what it's all about. And it's recordings of people from the Caldecott area. So that's the backup to it. I think you were, well, I'll ask you now where you were born. And can you tell me where you were born?
Yes, 35 Seaview, Sudbrook.
And
1925.
1925, that
Good
was my
Lord.
Next question. 1925.
Oh, October the 19th.
And Seaview. So can you say something about the house that you were born in?
Well, it's one of the houses that they built for the when they were building Sarum Tunnel, for the man that was building the tunnel. And it was a chap, Mr. Walker, who owned them all. And then eventually, when later on in life, they sold it. We could buy the house.
Mm.
So my parents bought the house.
Mm.
And when I got married, I lived with them in the rooms for 6 months, I think, 7 months.
Mm.
And then I was walking through the castle drive one day, and I knew there was flats at the castle.
Mm-hmm.
People living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Colonel Cobb, who was mm-hmm. the owner,
mm-hmm.
and I just approached him and I said, was there any possibility of having a flat? He
mm-hmm.
said, well, I haven't got mm-hmm. any flats available mm-hmm. at the moment,
mm-hmm.
but he said, I'm thinking about converting the keep into mm-hmm. a living accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and your wife would be happy to live there, he said, I'll let you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 months later, he rang me up, and he said the keep was available if I'd like to go and see it.
Mm.
So we went and seen it, and we decided straight away to have it.
And that's where you live now?
And that's where I lived for 4.5 years.
Mm. All right, okay. So going back to your home in Sudbrook,
mm.
so, and you've explained that it was built by Mr. Walker, who, for the benefit of people who are listening to this,
mm-hmm.
Was the contractor who built the seven tunnel and
yeah.
the houses. Very historic area, really. And so the house was bought by your father before you were born, I guess.
Oh, no.
Ah, right.
No, after.
So where were you actually born?
In the house, in 35 Seaview.
Yeah. Oh, I see. He rented it
yeah,
in that stage and then bought it.
7 and 6 a week, I think it was.
Gosh, this is great.
And tell me a bit about your dad. What did he do?
He worked on as a water softener at the pumping station.
Yeah.
And then before that, he was in the boiler house as a fireman stoking for the fires.
Yeah.
And then I think got a bit too much for him, and the water softener job came up.
Yeah.
And he had that until he retired.
Yeah. So the fires for the boiler. So what were the boilers used for?
For the steam for the driving the pumps.
And can you remember those?
Yes, I.
Yeah.
I don't know what I should say this, but but I was a fireman myself on the railway. And we used to go in the tunnel. On a Sunday, when to do the maintenance, the brickies and the plate layers, and we'd put them where they wanted to work, and then we'd pull ahead so that the steam of the locomotive and smoke didn't bother them.
Mm.
And we happened to be under the, by the pumping station,
mm.
by the lift which went to the pumping station and down into the tunnel.
Mm. So these would be the big shafts coming
yeah.
down to the
and pump. So my driver said to me, if you want to go home for dinner, to Sudbrook, of course, he said, pop up, he said, because we're not going to move now for a couple
mm.
of hours.
Mm.
So I went and rang the bell, the shaft came down, I got in, and when I got to the top, I knew Mr. Wallace, who was the driver on duty. And he said, now, don't come back for a half hour because I'm just about to have my dinner. So I said, oh, I should be more than that. So I went back after about an hour and he let me down and he stopped the lift.
Yeah, halfway down.
Bit of a joke, like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But then I got back on the footblade and continued the day's work. Pulled the train out to Pilnin.
Yeah.
and then it was brought back Severn Tunnel to probably the next day.
Yeah. And
it was the engineering train, it was. Mm. Brick is doing the brickwork, repairing, and plate layers doing the track.
Yeah. Mm. So were you employed by the tunnel itself?
Or? No, I was on the footplate station at Severn Tunnel.
Yeah. Right, so tell me about the pumps and what they were for. Bear in mind, you and I know what they were for, but the people listening to this might not know what they were for.
Oh, they were to keep the tunnel dry, pumping the water out, that's what it was for. Mm. And there was a big fan to drive the smoke out of the tunnel. A huge wheel. Mm. I don't know whether that's still going now, but I shouldn't imagine it is.
Mm. And so they were steam-powered engines.
Oh, big beams.
Big beams,
Cornish pumps they were.
Cornish pumps, you don't know who the name of the manufacturer was?
No, I don't know.
And so they were used to draw the water up from the tunnel below to keep it from flooding.
And a lot of it went out into the Severn, and a lot of it went to all the homes in Sudbrook. They had, and I think some... Caldicot Pill had Severn Tunnel water. And then they went to the later in years, they put a pipeline into the reservoir so that if the reservoir went low, they could pump the water into the reservoir.
Is that the reservoir up at Flamborough Discord? Is that the one?
That's the one,
I didn't know that. So the water that your dad was treating was the water that was going to the homes.
Yeah.
Because the it's limestone and it would be very hard.
I think it was a lot of lime they put in it, would they? I think. I can't remember what it was, really. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so you were brought up there. You lived in your parents' house. And tell me about the house. What sort of house was it? You know, did you have, how many bedrooms were there?
Three bedrooms. Two on the front and a large double one on the back, which a lot of people turned it into two bedrooms. But it was a big room on the back, which was, we didn't convert it into two.
Yeah.
But we had two beds in there.
Yeah. So how many were in the family altogether?
I had three brothers and two sisters.
Around six of you.
Yeah.
And when you lost one, one lad died when he was five.
Mm. So you shared, the boys shared one room and the girls shared the
room. My mother and father was in the one on the front. My sister was on the other one on the front.
Yeah.
And my brother and me in one bed and my older brother in the other bed.
And so growing up there... you know, what did you do for entertainment when you were young?
Entertainment?
Yeah.
Football, mainly.
Yeah.
Cricket.
Yeah.
And hat ball, do you remember? Hat ball, where you used to roll a ball up into a hat, and then...
No, I don't
if you got it in the hat, you picked it up and you had to throw it. You had to, the person who put it there had to run, and we used to throw the ball at him, hit him with the ball.
So when you said you roll the ball up, what sort of, what was it?
Only about 5 yards, you know.
Yeah.
And if it was on the hat, it was made a hole in the ground, you know. So hat ball, used to call it.
Marvellous.
So you and the other children, there were quite a few children, were there in
Sudbrook?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I had plenty of friends, mates, yes.
And where did you go to school?
I went to the Sunday school, I did, as a child. And we used to go to Barry Island once a year in the summer. And if you didn't have a good attendance record, you weren't asked to go.
So the Sunday school, what denomination was the...
The Mission Hall.
The Mission Hall, that was the Mission Hall.
That got burnt down.
That got burnt down, And was it...
It was rebuilt, wasn't it? Within a few weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. 2 or 3 weeks, which is amazing.
Mm.
What denomination was the church? Was it any particular denomination?
Well, I don't know whether there was any special denomination. It was just called the Mission Hall.
So you had the Sunday school. Who took the Sunday school? Who were the people?
Well, we had a minister.
A minister.
Yeah, and the minister had a house next to the chapel.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm.
Mr. Pumphrey when I was going.
Mr. Pumphrey, So was he an Anglican or was he a Methodist? Or?
Well, more like a Methodist, I think.
Ah, right, So
we had a nice youth club there. We had a billiard table and a couple of table tennis tables.
And that was in the hall?
In the wing, we called it.
The wing, yeah.
Because it was a hall and there was two wings to it.
So there's really plenty to do.
Oh, yeah,
And plenty of friends.
Yes, we used to have the youth club on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Every Friday night. Mm.
So quite a close-knit community, would you say?
Yeah.
And when you went to school, so where the school was where?
Yeah.
Where was it?
Next to the church.
Next to the church,
Opposite the pumping station.
Yeah, I know, roughly.
Mm, yeah.
Is that the one that recently became a...
It's houses, two houses now.
Two houses, is it?
Or two flats or something. Yeah. And I went there until I was about 13, I think, and I won a scholarship to the grammar school at Chepstow, which is called Larkfield in those days.
Yeah.
And I stayed there until I was about 16, I think.
Yeah.
And my parents couldn't afford to keep me there any longer.
No.
Because everything was a tie, I think. Not expensive. I was 1 in 9.
Yeah.
And it was a half a crown for a term book.
Yeah.
And the blazers, I think, was, I think, if I remember right, they were more like about £4.
Yeah.
So my parents got the badge and bought a blazer at a jumble sale that fitted me and sold the badge onto the blazer.
Yeah.
I can remember that. And then I left there to join the railway at Severn Tunnel Junction on the footplate.
So when you passed the scholarship, were there many other children from
Sunbrook? Yes, it was three others.
Yeah.
But there was already a couple of older girls who was in already been there a couple of years.
Yeah. So and how many children were in the school? You know, in your class, how many?
Oh, 32.
It's quite a large class actually. It must have been a lot of children there. Yeah. So 3 out of 32.
Mm.
Yeah. So the school at Larkfield, when you went there, how did you get there?
Passed the scholarship test. You still have to go to the...
By transport. What transport?
Oh, bus.
Yeah.
Oh, bus.
Mm. So was it
a bus from Port Skewett. We had to walk to Port Skewett and catch the bus.
And that's how far, would you say?
Well, it's about 3/4 of a mile, I suppose.
Yeah, so not a long
one. No.
No. And that was a service bus? Or
yeah, 20 to 9 from Port Skewett and 4:10 from Chepstow in the afternoon back home.
And when you arrived at the school, I don't know how frequently you would have gone to Chepstow before that.
Not often.
No. So it was all new for you. And what did you feel like when you first went into the school?
Well, I don't know. Strange in a way, after coming from the county school at Sunbrook, it was what should I say? A bit more professional, shall we say?
Yeah.
The teachers were different, and
so a different approach,
different disciplines as well.
And the three of you were. Boys and girls, or what?
No, there was me and two other lads.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any girls the year that we went.
Yeah.
But there was girls that was going, but they had been there a couple of years before.
Yeah. So at least you had some people that you knew.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And did you tend to, you know, stick with those two friends, or did you begin to make more friends?
Oh, I made more friends. Yeah, I made a big friend of a lad in Caldicott.
What was his name?
We went together quite a lot. You know, on school holidays, we used to we went over on the ferry on our bikes to from Beechley
to Bristol, yes.
to Severn Beach a couple of times.
And do you remember his name, Wolf?
Eric Price.
Is he still?
No, he's not alive. He died. No. He was on the footplate as well, though.
Was he?
Mm.
Yeah. So when it came to, you said that you left at 16, so it came to looking for a job.
Yeah.
When you came to look for a job, so was the railway the most obvious thing to go for? You know?
Well, that's what I wanted, to be a driver.
Yeah, did you?
Mm.
Yeah.
So I got there eventually.
Yeah.
I'd done a couple of years as a cleaner. And in those days, the cleaners had to be either a call boy, or you was in the office, or you was a boiler washer's mate. Now, I was put in the office because I'd just come back from Larkfield school,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I was put in the office.
And what sort of things did you do?
You had to book the men on and off, because they were on and off all day long,
yeah.
All through the night as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And did you work through the night, or was it?
Oh, work nights, yes.
Did you?
Yeah.
And that was based, where was that based? Where
at Severn Tunnel Junction.
At Severn Tunnel Junction. Mm,
at the engine sheds.
How far is it from Sudbrook to, you presume you were still living?
Oh, I had a bike.
Yeah.
Push bike.
Mm. Yeah. And how far is it from?
Oh, only a couple of miles, isn't it?
Yeah.
We used to go down to Carlygut, down Station Road, Ash Path, down to the sheds.
We've heard of the Ash Path from the previous speaker. Yeah.
Mm.
So that was convenient for you to work there. And you progressed from that job.
To a fireman.
To fireman. Now, for the reader, the listeners, could you explain what the job of a fireman would be in those days?
You'd book on at, say, 2 o'clock.
Mm.
And if your train was, say, 3:50, you've got an hour to get your engine ready, and then you go down to the yard, hook on, off you go.
So what was involved in getting the engine ready?
Get the steamer, getting a full head of steam, because sometimes you get on the foot on the engine and there might be only about 10 pounds, but you want 180.
Yeah. So to do that, what would be involved?
You're
in
stoking up the fire and pulling
the
a pricker through it and blowing it. And
yeah. So what would you blow it with?
Oh, it's automatic blower on the footplate.
Wow.
And how is that powered?
Oh, from the steam, I suppose.
Steam? Mm. Yeah, yeah. So you turned a handle or something like
just,
that.
That's right.
Blew the draft in to the fire.
Underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
To get it quick,
you used
to get
coal,
the steam
did
quicker.
You?
Pardon?
Did you use coal?
Oh, coal.
Coal,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. And so you get the engine.
So you had an hour to get your engine ready.
And so it's up to temperature and up to pressure.
180.
Yeah.
Then you go down the yard and hook up and either go through Severn Tunnel or through to Gloucester or down to Swansea.
And
we used to work a train from Chepstow, 7:35 from Chepstow. Stopper train to Cardiff and non-stop from Cardiff to Swansea and stopper back.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was the firing and raising the steam pressure.
Mm-hmm.
What else was necessary to...
Getting the tools on the engine.
Yeah.
You'd have to have your shovel, your prickers, your poker, your coal peck, a bucket of three spanners, and a hand brush, and detonators. And two flags.
So
that would be all in a bucket in the tool shed.
Mm.
And when you booked on, you go and get your bucket for that particular engine and start work, getting it ready.
And could you explain for the listeners the purpose of the flags and the detonators?
Oh, in case of any accident.
And how would they be used?
If you was involved, like you came off the track, you go ahead so many yards, it was stipulated, I can't remember how many yards it was now, and put three detonators down, and then the train would come along, and if he burst the detonators, he knew there was something wrong.
So he would put the brakes on.
So he'd be ready to stop.
Yeah, yeah. And did you have any tests or exams for all this, to know what it is?
Not as for a fireman,
no.
But for a driver, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
There was an old coach at the engine sheds, which we had a class on a Sunday morning, improvement class it was called. And we'd go there to learn about the engine, the different parts, how she took her steam, front and back, and all the pistons and everything. And then you'd go to Swindon then for the test and before you got your made driver.
And that happened to you after you worked as a fireman.
Yeah.
How long were you working as a fireman before you actually...
18 years.
And
I got made driver for Cardiff. So there was no vacancy at Serentana, but they were short of drivers at Cardiff. So at the time that I was made driver, I had to go to Cardiff.
So 18 years. So was there a waiting list or... What process did that 18 years?
Well, I think it was depending on how many was retiring.
Effectively.
What it'd be, really.
So give me some dates then, Will. When you started, what year was that, roughly?
When I started on the footplate?
Yeah.
I've got it on here somewhere, I think.
I think you would, from what you said, you'd be about 35 then.
Yeah.
So that would have been about 1960?
No, I think it was after 1960.
Is it? Yeah.
Left the railway in 1945, yes. But I had been a driver for over a year before then.
Before 45? Yeah.
And why I left was the fact that my wife said, you've got to work these shifts right until you're 65 till you finish. And his shifts wasn't just 2 to 10, 6 to 2. It was all around the clock. And a friend of mine was on the footplate, and he left earlier and took on an insurance book, the co-op. And then... his wife got fed up of people coming for cover notes for cars to the house. And she got him to pack the job in, and he went into Llanwern. So he asked me if I'd like to take the book on. So I worked for the co-op then from that time until I retired. I retired in 1990.
So let's be clear about... when you started, you were born in 1925, you left school, let's call it 15 years later.
Yeah.
So that would be 1940.
Yeah.
You spent 18 years on the footplate.
As a fireman.
So that would be 1958. Would that be right?
No, later than that.
Was that 65, not 45?
I think it must be.
Was that 65? Yeah. The
no, 45.
Is it?
So roughly, when did you start as a driver?
Let me think. I'd done 18 years as a fireman. So...
you think it was 1960 or thereabouts?
60.
Yeah.
And I retired in 1990.
Yeah.
So I'd done about 30 years, hadn't I?
Yeah.
On the footplate.
Okay. And so you left the railway. Were you personally glad to leave the railway?
In a way. But I like the railway. I like I like the steam engine. And when the diesels come in, that's really one of the reasons why I finished. Because I was... preferred the steam engine than the diesel.
Yes.
So the diesels had come in?
No, not...
just coming in?
They were just coming in. They weren't on they weren't all on the trains. It was just a couple in the depot. And there was a couple of drivers that was in class as instructors because it was quite changed from steam to diesel. So all the drivers had to have a course again, you see.
So you looked at that and thought, no, I don't want to do that.
No, and working the shifts until I was 65.
And did you do any two-homing?
Did I?
Do any two-homing, staying away overnight?
Oh, no.
So they were all...
No, one double home. That's what they used to call it.
Double O's. So it didn't involve that.
No.
So if you went from...
There wasn't many double home jobs at Severn Tunnel. The nearest double home jobs was at Aberdare. They used to come to Severn Tunnel as double home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really necessary. But
So you drove the main line...
From Cardiff
to Swansea. Mm.
I was very unlucky because there was a snowstorm and I was working a train from Cardiff to Gloucester. And... I killed a fellow, a linesman, doing the signals. And I didn't know till I got to go into Llanwern to pick up some wagons, and they're all there waiting for me.
Mm.
They had told me what had happened, and
that must have been awful.
I didn't know. You see.
No.
And he must have been walking, and between the railway are on the outside line, and these the cylinders on the engine, you know, hit him.
Mm.
And
you wouldn't have known anything about that.
No. And so they sent me back with the engine. I had to go back for examination at Cardiff at the depot.
Mm.
And they said, "You go home." I went home, and the police come the next day to ask me a few questions. And I had to go to the inquest, which was in Newport, and they said, "You know, you've got to come, but it's nothing to worry. You can't do nothing about it. It's nothing to do." No, they're all very kind, you know, but it was a bit upsetting.
Of course, I'm sure.
Because he had a young wife and two young kids. Only 23, I think he was.
Because
he was trying to clean the signals because it was the old semaphore signals then, not the electric lights.
So you left the railway, you began working for the
co-op insurance. Meagher to Monmouth.
Big area.
And I call in houses, and I had a big motor book, motor insurance. That was, I got most of the finance was done through the motor insurance. I had a wonderful motor book, though it was the best in the office anyway. Financially,
We haven't mentioned the war at all. Do you have any recollections of the war and how it might have
been? I got one. Under the tender at Stapledon Road, we were there for 2.5 hours. And the signalman sent a message out to say that the problem was the track had been bombed and we couldn't go. So they come and relieved us there so that we could come back home. And because I don't know how long, they didn't know how long it was going to be before they could repair the track, which was damaged, you see. So we left that train there at Stapledon Road and came home.
Is that Bristol?
Yes. Well, they were bombing Bristol. Bad, weren't they?
So how did you get home?
Oh, with the track was all right from Stapledon Road back home.
The other way.
Going on to Bath.
Yeah. And living in this area, did you see any signs of bombing?
There's one bomb dropped at Rocket, opposite the hotel. You know, it's not an hotel now, I don't think, but it was an hotel then.
Yeah.
Because we had a funny bloke, a guard from Chepstow. You know, you remember you used to have to take the bottles back and have a couple of pence on a bottle?
Yes.
Empty bottles? Well, he had a sack full, so he could get a free pint of beer. And when the landlord found out what was in the sack, it was jam jars, not bottles. So he was called Jam Jazz from that day onwards.
Yeah, I bet. And did you see from this area, you can see across the Bristol Channel? So if there was
Avonmouth,
could you see that going on?
Oh yeah, very bad.
Tell me what you saw.
Well, we had a regiment at Sudbrook with rocket guns, you know, to protect the pumping station. That's what they were there for. And Avonmouth was lit up. Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it was was bombed several times, wasn't it? Mm. The oil tanks, mm. that's what they were after, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had them anyway. But there we are. That was war, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah. So the pumping station and the tunnel were really critical.
Yeah, they were. They weren't touched. Because they had a regiment of soldiers at the pumping station.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very important to the British. Mm.
And they had tents and on the camp field.
Did they?
Mm, the regiment.
Mm.
And they guarded the top pumping station and the bottom pumping station, because there was two pumping stations. There was one at lower, one at the main one at the top, and there was a smaller one further down.
Further down, going west?
Bottom pumping station, they
going
used to call it.
Going west from Sudbrook, or where would...
No, as you go into Sudbrook,
yeah.
it was just on the right.
Uh-huh.
And then you went up the village, and the big one was by the school.
I see, I didn't know that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
5 Mile 4, they called it.
Mm. And interesting. So any other things that were going on in Sudbrook at the time of the war?
No.
I've heard there was
a hospital there, but it wasn't a hospital in my time.
Right, okay.
It was a place where the soldiers in the camps used it as a recreation place.
Mm. Mm.
And they turned it into flats later after the war, didn't they? Mm.
And I'd heard there was shipbuilding.
At Sudbrook, further up the top end of the village.
Right, okay.
But they weren't building ships in my time, but it was called a shipyard. They I think they made barges there years ago.
So, about your personal life, you married.
Yeah.
So what year was it that you married?
What year? I got that written down somewhere.
Yeah.
1947.
Yeah.
No, that was when I joined the railway in 1947. So I got married after that.
How old would you have been, Wolf, when you got married? Can you remember?
I think I was 22, I think.
Well, that would be 47.
That would be 47, wouldn't it?
That's about
right.
And how did you meet your wife? Can you tell us your wife's name?
At the YMCA in Caldicott. There was a YMCA and a British restaurant in Church Road. And the YMCA was open every evening mainly for the lads to go and play billiards. Mm. We had two billiard tables, two table tennis tables, and a dart board.
Mm.
And they used to have a Friday night hop, you know, a dance.
Mm. Mm.
And we used to go in there. On a Friday night, and it was run by volunteers, Mrs. Mm. Prosser, Mrs. Harrison, Mrs. Squibbs, Mrs. Morgan, Mrs. Brown. I remember them all. And Penry Thomas had the pharmacy, which is, I think it's Indian now, is it? Or not a chemist now, is it?
In Caldicott?
Hmm.
Yes, there's two chemists.
Yeah, but they're further down.
Before?
No, yes. In Church Road. It's
in Church Road,
Near a lady's hairdo nearby there. I think it's a Italian restaurant now or something.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he was a chemist.
Yeah.
And he was in charge, he was the church warden.
Yeah.
And we wanted the YM to be, if it could be open on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll have a look at it, he said. But he said, I should expect you to go to church.
Fair enough.
So we agreed, several of the lads, Eric Price included, and we went to the church. Not regular, but we did go.
And persuade him to do it.
So he opened the YMCA after having a talk with the volunteers, whether they would go,
mm-hmm.
because we maintained that it was open for the soldiers and the land girls as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met Mary, was at the land, at the YMCA.
Ah.
So where was Mary working when she was here?
She was a nurse at the Gwent. And then she saw the land girls working in the gardens of the hospital. And she thought, oh, that's the job for me. So she joined the Women's Land Army, and she was stationed at Mount Ballon.
Mm.
Mm. There were 60 other girls there.
Mm. Gosh.
And they used to come down to the YMCA mm. in the evenings.
Mm.
And the soldiers used to come from the camp.
Mm.
And for for the refreshments and mm. a game. And that's where we met.
Mm.
It.
And when you married, where did you live where you married?
I lived with my parents for six... Mm. No, not 6 months, but about 5 months, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. And I was walking through the castle drive, and I met Colonel Cobb. And I just thought, oh, am I going to buck up and ask him? So I went and had a chat with him and asked him if it was possible, if there were any flats available. And he said, no, there's no flats available, he said, but I'm thinking about converting the keep into a living quarters.
Mm.
Would you be interested in that? I said, mm. yes. So he saw us. He rang me up. But a month later, he said, I've done the keep. He said, if you'd like to come and have a look at it with your wife. So I took Mary down. We had a look at it and thought, well, we'd be on our own. It was a nice
mm.
big room. And he turned one of the little offshoots as a kitchen. And another one over this side, there was a pantry. And we had a nice bedroom. And but we got, when Rob was born, 2 days after that, we was struck with lightning. And there was a crater on top of the tower. And our clothesline, because it was a round tower, it went like that, you know, across several. And everywhere that... it hit the wall, it damaged the stonework.
Yeah.
And because it was fastened to the ladder that went up to the... there's a yeah. tower on... a small tower on top of the big
mm.
tower.
Mm. Mm.
And there's a crater there to this day,
mm.
filled with cement.
Mm.
And when Colonel Cobb came over, he said that was similar to what a small bomb would do.
Mm.
And the you know the big door with got bolts through them?
Yes.
You know, was studded like
the
that was all split
really?
From the blast.
Mm. Mm.
And every power point in the tower was gone.
Mm.
And my wireless, I took it down to the village next morning and he said, what's happened to it? I said, it's got struck with lightning last night. He said, well, you can put that in the bin. The dial, you know, the pin that finds mm. the stations mm. was in the back of the set.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was kaput mm. completely. Mm. And I couldn't afford to buy a new one then at that time, you know, straight away.
Mm.
So when my parent, Mary's parents come up to visit us the weekend, after a couple of weekends, he brought me a new wireless.
Mm.
He bought it for us, like.
And where did they come from? Where
Ammanford.
Ammanford?
Mm. Mm. Then, he was general manager there of Ammanford and several other branches in the area,
mm.
Pantyffynnon and Gorsynon.
Mm. General manager of what?
Manager of the co-op.
Co-op.
The co-op, mm. yeah.
And they used to come and visit us at weekends. And then one day, when I was on the footplate, we work in the 735 from Chepstow to Swansea. My little lad, Mary, brought him round to the station, put him on the in the first coach.
Oh.
And the guard said he'd keep an eye on him because he's only about 5 or 6. And Mary's mother and father met us at Swansea because he was living at Ammanford
mm.
then
mm.
and picked him up and kept him there for the week and brought him mm. home at the
oh.
weekend when he came.
Oh.
No.
And when Mary was in the Land Army, where did she work? Which
All over the county. In the end, she had a Caterpillar tractor, a huge thing,
mm-hmm.
and they tried to plough the moors to plant it.
Mm.
And it failed. It was too wet.
Too wet.
Mm. Mm. You couldn't do it.
Mm. So she was doing any work that a farm...
A lot around Devorden and anywhere in the county, really.
It's hard work.
Mm.
Yeah. Did she enjoy that?
Yeah, she liked it, yeah. Mm. I used to go on my bike to see her sometimes on the field, you know.
Mm.
around when she was up around Shenewton and Devorden, and Penycumore. Yeah, she was a very good driver.
Mm-hmm.
Good pianist too.
Was she?
She had a lovely piano. But we had a hell of a job to get it in into the keep. You can imagine, can't you? A ship's ladder. And all them steps going around to carry it up there. Anyway, we got it in eventually. She loved her piano. And
so tell me about the flat in the keep. How many rooms did you have?
We had the living room, and then down where the dungeon is, the bottom, and then the bedroom above.
Mm-hmm. So what did you use?
And in the living room, there was an alcove, which was a pantry, another alcove, which was a kitchen. Only I had a sink and a gas stove in there, that was all.
And
but it was part furnished, £1 a week, including the light.
Yeah. Good Lord.
And what did you use the dungeon for?
Oh, I didn't use the dungeon.
All right.
Only to go down, I could go and get a bat any time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when Robert was born, Mary's mother came to stay with her for a while, and there was a bat flying in the bedroom, and they were screaming, you know. So I went up and I got hold of a towel, and I thought, I'll get him, and I hit him down. Picked him up. I said, come and have a look at it, I said, because it's only like a mouse with wings, you know. And you come over and have a look at it, and up he flew. More screams, I never forget it. I could go and get a bat any time down the dungeon.
Yeah.
Just pick one off.
Yeah.
And Colonel Cobb used to keep all his fruit down there.
Because it's cool.
And we could help ourselves. He said, anything you want, you know, apples and that.
Yeah.
Just help yourself.
So tell me about the Colonel and where he lived.
He lived in the main gate. The main, you know, you know, you go through the arch at the beginning of the castle. To the, as you go in, to the right. That was the living quarters. And there was a flat above them, two flats above them. And a flat on the left-hand side as you go through the archway, which is, I think, what they call it now. They've got a sales room in the thing there now.
Display room, yes. Visitors' centre.
But we had...
And there were other families living there?
Colonel, there was a family living in the Woodstock Tower. He was a manager for the brushworks at Chepstow, Mr. Godfrey.
I know, yeah.
And there was Roy Nanskival, another railwayman, and Mr. Davis in the main gatehouse, and we in the keep.
So it was, so Colonel Cobb, I think you said.
Yeah, yeah.
So how long did he live there? Did he live there all the time that you were there?
Oh, yes, yeah. I think he retired it when they handed it over, when the council bought it. I think the council bought it for 15,000, didn't they?
And when about
it was a gift, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And all the land that was attached to it.
And when was that, roughly?
What?
That he sold it.
Gosh. I was on the Chepstow Rural Council at the time when they bought it, and I went to the first banquet.
So 70s?
No, I think it was later than that. Oh, it must have been later than that.
80s? And did you
I can't remember the actual date. I could find out, but I haven't got it with me.
Okay.
And... So you continued to live there after it had been sold?
What? No. I left there then, before the council bought it.
Right, okay.
I got bought the house in Port Stewart.
Yeah, right. So that's when you moved to where you live now, Port Stewart?
Yeah, same house.
Yeah.
2 Caldicott Road.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And that's where you've retired? Yeah. Tell us a bit about Port Stewart. Got shops?
Well, it's got one shop. Spa. Nice church. nice pub. Not that I'm interested in pubs, but there is a nice pub. They do meals. Mm. I've had several meals there. And then we got Black Rock, with the, which was, you know, go for a picnic if you want. And
tell me more about Black Rock. What has been over the years?
Well, I can remember when the hotel was there, when it got burned down.
Mm.
And there was a family, Mrs. Dooley, who lived in the building opposite, which is not there now. And there used to be a little shop in Sudbrook, and she used to take a barrel, and we used to take this barrel up on a Sunday to sell sweets and different refreshments. And that was, we used to push ahead a bit quicker so that we could get out of the way and have a few sweets on the way. And out.
And who were you selling the sweets to?
They were, well, people used to go up on a Sunday a lot in those days, you know, if it was nice weather. If it wasn't nice weather, they wouldn't go.
Mm.
The barrel wouldn't go up there anyway. Mm. But I used to go and make ice cream, turning up for this lady who had the shop.
Mm.
There was only a shop in the front room of the house.
Mm.
Oh. Mm. But she had this barrel. And you start to turn and keep turning to make the ice cream for her to take up on the Sunday next day.
And you're talking about
threepence.
So you're talking about your boyhood at this time.
Mm.
Yeah. And people used to go there, and what else was there for them?
Black Rock.
Yeah.
No, nothing really.
Nothing really.
No, only you're paddling and looking for crabs and that sort of thing.
Mm. Mm, just a place to go.
Mm.
Fishing?
Well, trying to, but I mean, not really. Mm.
Not much fish.
No. So it's too rocky, you know, you lose your line and lose your stuff.
Mm-hmm. So bringing us right up to date now, so you are retired, well retired.
Oh, before I retired, when I was on the footplate.
There
was a driver in Reg Raymond. He was my driver when I was a fireman.
Yeah.
And another councillor, Bill Baker. And the bridge, I don't know whether you ever walked it, from the top of the church out to Mount Ballon. Across across the Nedern. And there's a stream.
Mm.
That runs through the castle drive, doesn't it?
Around the
castle.
Yeah.
Well, the bridge on that ream had gone. So this councillor from Bill Baker from Caldicot said he would get 4 or 5 mainline sleepers.
Mm.
You know what the tracks used to be on. They don't use them now. They use concrete.
Mm.
But these three large sleepers, he got them delivered to the top of that, by the church where the stile is, and we carried them down and we built the bridge, rebuilt it. Well, not, it was only layering them together over the ring, because David Broom, his father, he didn't want the ring to be repaired. He seemed to object people going up to Mount Ballon, because he was going on his property. It always a public footpath. He couldn't do anything about it, you see.
Mm.
But he was, I know he was a bit mad because we fixed this bridge over the Nedern.
Mm. Mm.
And I think it's probably still there now, because there was, I think it was 4 large sleepers, not just a single track sleeper, but you if you had a junction, you know, you had longer sleepers.
Oh, I see.
And so you had the 4 long sleepers and carried them up there. And Bill Baker, he walked to the creek when it was a garage, you know, the petrol station.
Yes.
And there was a shop there then in those days. And he walked there to buy a couple of bottles of pop. But when he got there, he realised that his money was in his jacket back at where we were doing the bridge.
Oh.
And that fellow in the shop wouldn't let him have the pop, he said, I offered him my watch so that he knows I would come back. He said he wouldn't accept it. So he walked all the way up there.
Yeah. All the way back.
Yeah. And I never, yeah. had the pop. And it was a boiling hot day, I remember.
So now you're long retired, as we well know. And how do you fill your time now then, Will?
Oh, bowls, don't we? Bowls. And
very good bowls.
I run the Senior Citizens Club at Port Stewart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I do a lot at the church. I've done every duty in the church except the Sunday school teacher. Mm. I've done auditor, treasurer, secretary. Mm. I go to stewards for funerals and weddings.
Mm.
And also in charge of the car park there, collecting £7.50 a year off people who want to park there.
Mm.
So I've done my duty at the church for all these years.
Yeah. So you're still very active.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, I just been to we had a fish and chip supper last night.
Mm.
And Joe Rooney, he was there with Mary, and we had about 30. I ordered the fish and chips. I went and paid for them, and they was going to deliver them, but sadly the person who was supposed to be delivering was ill and couldn't do it, and so they was rather late come in, and a couple of our chaps went up and picked them up, and we had them in boxes. You know, you've seen them, I mean
cardboard boxes.
They're nice. Didn't have to have any plates, so we had I think it was 25 fish and chips, two chicken and chips, and two sausage and chips.
So that was in the church hall.
In the church last night, Tuesday night.
So I'm still very active. But I... Go on,
well, if you had an award from the Queen, didn't you, for your work for charity?
Yeah.
What was that you got?
What was the charities I did?
What was the award that you got?
Oh, I could have brought it. It's
anyway, I've got my card.
It was presented by the Lord Lieutenant of the County.
Oh, right.
Oh, no, that's the one for the garden party.
Yes.
Was that for the same?
No, that's a different thing. Mm.
This is at Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
She went to Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, and Mary came with me.
Yes.
And they met us outside the palace because Mary was in a wheelchair then.
Oh, right, yes.
And the policeman took us in a private area. Instead of joining the queue that was going into the palace, we went a different way because she was in the wheelchair with the policeman. And he took us in and put us in where we had to be. And we had a nice tea. And she came around with all the dignitaries and...
The Queen.
And the princes and princesses. And we left about 6 o'clock, I think, something like that.
And you had an award, didn't you?
Oh, the award, the award was for the voluntary work in the county.
Oh, right.
I didn't bring that because it's in a frame and it's got my name on it, you know.
Yes.
And who awarded you that then?
The county.
That was the county, yes.
It was done by the Lord Lieutenant.
Mm.
That's wonderful because not a lot of people get that. That's lovely. And it was lovely that Mary could share it with you. So that was in 2012.
Yeah, it's not long ago, was it?
So when did Mary die?
4 years in April.
4 years in April.
Mm.
2013.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, that's right.
Yes, yes. How many children do you have, Wolf?
Two.
A
boy, and I had a girl, and she died at birth in Lydia Bainham in Newport, which is now the Celtic Manor.
Yes, yes.
And she died with multiple injuries, and so we adopted a girl, and Marie, my girl.
Oh,
I went to Carmarthen home to collect her. But the doctor of her, my wife's dad, a friend of his, seen this person in Ammanford and told her that the girl's mother died at birth. The mother died, not the,
not the little girl.
And she had to be put in a home. And the doctor seen the family and said that he knew of somebody that would look after her and be very kind to her. And so that they decided that we should go and have her. And we went to Carmarthen home and brought her back.
It's wonderful.
And in the train, there's a lady from the Portskewitt post office sat on that side of the coach. And she said, oh, I can see who she's like. But I said, oh, I didn't say anything.
Yeah. And how many grandchildren have you got? Because I know you're very proud of your
family.
Sammy
Joe and Amy and Peter. Peter is my son of my daughter.
Yes.
And Sammy Joe and Amy is Robert's.
I know Sammy Joe. She's lovely girl.
She helped Amy helped at the fish and chips supper last night. She's home from Greece. She's a holiday rep.
Oh yes.
Greece, in Kefalonia.
Yes.
So we went to Kefalonia a month ago, me and Rob. He can't go in the summer, it's too hot. He's ginger and he can't stick it. So Sue goes on her own, or with Sammy in the summer, and Rob goes in the autumn, and I went with him, and we had a nice villa, £1,600 a week for six.
That's good, isn't
it? And the villa wasn't being used this week, so we had it for note, because of Amy.
Yeah,
and they said to Amy, the firm, all we want you to do is to pay for the cleaning at the end of the week. She rang the firm up on the Friday. What's the cost of the cleaning? Oh, forget it, they said. Have it on us.
Oh, wonderful.
So they think a lot of Amy. I must do. Because
so you've lived a very, very full life and with a lovely family. Lots,
yeah,
lots
a lovely
to talk
family.
About.
I don't know what I'd have done without them when Mary died. With Rob and they've been marvellous.
Very supportive.
I go to Rob's one Sunday for a meal, and then they bring me... Let me bring two to come home for the next day. I go to Marie's the other Sunday, and the same thing happens there. So I want to get the meals for the latter part of the week. I'm not much good at cooking. Frying pan gets a bit of a hammering. But
wonderful.
There we are.
Well, Wilf, it's been a privilege to hear your life story. And it's now being recorded. And as we explained earlier, it will be posted on People's Collection Wales, and it will be archived in the County Archives and in Aberystwyth Library. So thank you very much.